May God bless us in his mercy. It struck me as Art and the crew there were singing the responsorial, that's kind of like a massive understatement. Yes, he does bless us in his mercy, but how does he bless us? So this is Old Testament. This is Psalm 67, and we kind of hear the yearning in all throughout the Old Testament, but it's there in our first reading from the book of Numbers too. The Jews yearn to see the Lord, to gaze upon him, and boom, now we have gazed upon him. We have seen him. We look at the manger, and that's the face of God looking up in the manger. That's just not any baby there. All babies are beautiful looking up, right? The beautiful eyes of wonder and seeking to learn and to grasp new things. But think about the face of God looking up at you. Think about how marvelous that must have been for Mary and Joseph. And then the shepherds, we heard in the gospel, the shepherds come in haste. And all the people who come to visit, eventually the Magi, that's probably a couple years later actually, or a substantial amount of time later. It's not right after the fact. But imagine, just imagine what that was like to gaze upon the Lord. So yes, he has blessed us in his mercy in a number of different ways, but he's given us his only begotten Son. And not just to come as a little baby. At Christmas, I was at pains preaching about that, right? That's not the main reason why he came. It's to lay in a manger and for us to say, isn't that wonderful? The reason why he came is right there. He came to die for us and to rise again for us. And that's, so God has blessed us in his mercy. He didn't just send us a little bit of grace here and there. He sent us grace itself. As Paul says at the Mass at night on Christmas, grace has appeared. Grace has appeared. We can see grace now. This is absolutely magnificent if we think about it for a minute. I was able to spend a couple days with my sister and her family down in Idaho Falls, and we watched the movie Star, which many of you with little children may have watched. I don't know if it's Disney or it's one of those animated movies, and they actually do a pretty good job, I thought, of kind of portraying the whole situation of Mary becoming pregnant and Joseph and then the shepherds. And as I was reflecting on these readings, I couldn't help but think of just this beautiful glory. Even, all the animals, of course, the animals can talk and everything. And everywhere they go, the stars shining like a spotlight on Bethlehem. Eventually they figure out it's meant to be right here. Yes, God has blessed us in his mercy. Let's just take a look deeper at the readings. So in the first reading here, so the Lord said to Moses, he's speaking through Moses here, "This is how you shall bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you." Pretty good, right? It sounds like the beginning of the classic Irish blessing. "The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." That's also in the Irish blessing. But we hear these kinds of things often and we can just breeze right over it. "Let the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." He's looking down upon you now from heaven. Yes, he's shining upon you. He's delighting in you. But he's looking at you from the crib too. He's looking at you from within your brothers and sisters, members of the baptized. "Let his face shine upon you." This isn't meant to be some kind of abstraction. It's happening all the time. We just have to be more attuned to it so we pick up on it and rejoice in it and acknowledge it. Then we go to responsorial, the Psalm 67. "May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon earth among all nations, your salvation." This is how he makes reality, truth known to us. His face shines upon us. He's smiling upon us, rejoicing in us. He's showing us what it means to be fully human, what it means to be redeemed humanity, living in and through Jesus. He's constantly reaching out, seeking to draw us into this wonderful mystery so we can leave the darkness in our lives behind and walk in his brilliant light. Notice this leitmotif, this revelation. We're heading into, we're going to celebrate the Epiphany starting this time tomorrow. We'll be celebrating the Vigil Mass for Epiphany. We might be finishing up. But we'll be celebrating. It's going to be good. May He let His face shine upon us. Otherwise, we live in darkness. The gloom of the world, all the troubles that we have, otherwise that's all we have. There's a little bit of joy here and there, but God is that brilliant light. I'm thinking of that star, the movie Star. May He let His face shine upon us. And then we get, Paul kind of gives us the punchline, why this is already important. I've already kind of let the cat out of the bag, but I couldn't help but do so. So he's saying, when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son to let His face shine upon us. Born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters, of course. Using son in the kind of the general term here. As proof that you were sons, God sent the Spirit of His Father into our hearts. Baptism, that's when this happens. Crying out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. Slave to sin, slave to darkness, slave to your own concupiscence. But a son, or again, a daughter. And if a son, then also an heir through God. So we're heirs to all the treasures that the Father has given to the Son. Because we're part of the Son. We're members of the baptized. Those of us who are. I know there's one here that's yearning for baptism, and it'll happen at Easter time. That's the gift. That's the Lord, His face shining upon us. Now you might be saying, well, Father, what are you talking about here? This is Mary, Mother of God, right? You haven't even hardly mentioned Mary yet. I'm getting there. It's through Mary that Jesus Christ comes to us, of course. She is the chosen instrument of our Lord, sinless from her birth, sinless all the way to her death. She is the sacred vessel through which Jesus Christ came into this world. She is also the sacred vessel by which we were reborn in Jesus Christ. Every single one of us in baptism, it's through this virginal yet very fruitful womb of Mary. She bears us forth into the world as sons and daughters of the Lord, as brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, as members of His very own body. And yes, she truly is Theotokos. Some of you may be aware that back in, let me get my church history right, I think it's 431, the Council of Ephesus, is when the church definitively proclaimed her Theotokos, Mother of God. And so there's four key councils. This is the third of the four really central councils where people were just trying to figure out, how do we talk about God? Like, who is God and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Who is Jesus? Is He divine? Is He human? Well, He's both. And, well, then who is Mary? And how do we talk about Mary? She's Mother of God. She's not mother of just the best human being ever to live. She's the Mother of God. He's divine and human at the same time. This was a very, very big deal back in the day. And of course, by virtue of that, she is our spiritual mother as well. And so as we move into this new year, which, you know, I talked about this, you know, at the first Sunday of Advent. It's been a new year for us for over a month, right? Big deal. So there's this arbitrary point on the calendar. Yay, everybody goes out and gets way too intoxicated. Does a lot of regrettable things. Some people crash into things. Some people get in fights. And then you wake up the next day with a hangover and watch football, right? Okay. That's the big celebration, right? Yeah, okay, we're moving into a new calendar year, but we do. So the church positions Mary right at the beginning of this to center us, right? Our mother, who's always pointing us towards Christ. She never points us toward herself. She's always pointing us to her Son. She wants nothing more than for us to be in very deep, intense, loving relationship with her Son, to be full of grace. We heard that, I guess it was an evening prayer. I think we were talking about allowing us to be full of grace like her Son. Well, the only way to do that is to let go of our sins, right? Mary was sinless. That's why she could be full of grace. She was a sinless, pure vessel. She wants us to be like that too, so we can flourish in and through her Son and be the sons and daughters of God that we were created to be. So that's what we're celebrating now. Yes, we're moving into a new calendar year. Okay, big deal. January 1st. It could be any other day. That's really not that big of a deal. What is a big deal is we're stepping into it with our mother in the lead, pointing us towards Christ, seeking to grow in holiness, seeking to be light in this world that has so much darkness, seeking to not only let the Lord let his face shine upon us, transform us, leave our darkness behind, but then we can also be his face shining out to other people and help people to realize how beautiful our Lord is, how wonderful he is, how necessary it is to have a relationship with our Lord, and how necessary it is to have a relationship with his mother in order to get to know him. The Lord, Jesus reveals the Father to us. Mary reveals her Son to us in a very beautiful way, always seeking to find new ways to point us toward him so he can amaze us, so he can transform us, so that he can lead us to flourishing. So that's what this is all about. Let us be like the shepherds. Let us go in haste to our Lord. Let us not run away from him in haste. Let us go to him in haste. Let us gaze upon him. Let us feast our eyes upon his goodness, upon Mary and Joseph, the Holy Family. Let us gaze upon them with great wonder, just like the shepherds are doing in this gospel passage. And then don't stop there. But what happens? So they say, oh yeah, the angels told us this is what was supposed to happen. Look at what's going on. This is amazing. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned. They weren't just patting themselves on the back saying, wow, that was pretty awesome. Where's the whiskey? It's New Year's Eve, right? No. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. That's our job. Allow the Lord's face to shine upon us, to amaze us, to strengthen us, to enrich us, and then go out and praise him. And tell people that he's not a competitor to our happiness. He's not some kind of ogre or tyrant. He's not there to hold us back with these rules. He gives us all this so that we can be free, so that as adopted sons and daughters of God, as Paul is saying, we can flourish in and through his love. So that's what we do. That's our New Year's resolution, right? You might have other more particular things, but that's what the Lord's calling us to do in this new year of his grace. And so, brothers and sisters, let us seek to do this diligently. Let us receive all the graces that the Lord wants to give us, just like Mary received all the grace that was given to her. Surprising, although it often was, let us receive it. Let us thank and praise the Lord for all of his graces, for his love, and let us never cease to grow ever deeper into this wonderful relationship with him, always through our Blessed Mother.